Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how are you?
I am really good. I mean, DFS this week, it's a good week. One tournament I was in, I haven't looked at them all, but I got Christian McCaffrey at like 4.8% ownership. It's a good week for me.
Yeah, that is good. He had quite the day. There were all those reports right before kickoff that he'd be rotating series with Mike Davis, but he was fine. He was fine.
That was fun.
That was fun. All right. Anyway, look, it's our Sunday night recap, so let's get right into it. But before we do, I will remind you about our November giveaway. It's a signed Alvin Kamara helmet. You can enter our contest in one of three ways. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Bros. You can follow us on Instagram at Fantasy Bros. Or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Fantasy Bros. Any one of those is an entry. All three of those counts as three entries. And to enter, just go to fantasybros.com/contest. Signed Alvin Kamara helmet running through November. All right, Tags, let's get started as we always do with trust or bust. Let's get started here with Curtis Samuel. Catches all nine of his targets, 105 yards, and a score plus three carries for 13 yards. Scored two touchdowns last week, too. He scored one the week before. He is always involved in the running game in some capacity. Trust or bust, Curtis Samuel.
I'm going to go with somewhat of a trust. He's been a guy that he's been getting plenty of opportunities. If you look at his last three games coming into this week, he had averaged 8.0 opportunities per game. They're giving him targets. They're giving him carries. And this matchup against the Chiefs, I mean, it was a really tough one. So I didn't necessarily love Curtis Samuel this week. But knowing that he produced in this game, they've clearly found a way to utilize him to his strengths. And it's coming at DJ Moore's expense. But yeah, I trust him.
Yeah, we'll get to DJ Moore. So when we say trust, because I agree, he's trust for me as well. That's more like a what? Borderline wide receiver three? Or where does the trust line
fall?
No,
I'm not going that far because, I mean, there's so many fantasy relevant wide receivers now. He's definitely falling into like that wide receiver four territory. And I don't even necessarily think a high end wide receiver four because, like, Cole Beasley offers a similar floor, even though it hasn't been great lately. Someone like John Brown has passed his injury that I would consider over him. Sterling Shepard sees consistent targets. So it's like he's just after those guys. So it's low end wide receiver four range.
Yep, I think that's fair. But again, that's a guy who for me, and I have Samuel in a couple of spots, like I just start him now for the most part. But that's because a guy in a wide receiver four range is usually a starter for you most weeks anyway, just given where we are with injuries and given flex spots and everything like that. I agree with you. Not quite the wide receiver three, but I am basically trusting him at this point to provide me with week-to-week value. Number two, Zach Moss. I know this one's a sore spot for you. 9 for 18 on the ground, so not good, but he gets that late touchdown. He also caught two passes for 30 yards through the air. He outperformed Devin Singletary. Trust or bust, Zach Moss.
I mean, it's a very loose term with running backs, like, because if you have anybody that has a pulse, they could pretty much be someone you could play. But if your trade deadline hasn't passed, I sell Zach Moss. Not only is he playing for a team that isn't utilizing their running backs a whole lot, you know, those two running backs together are combining. They're just not combining for a whole lot of touches. So even if it's, let's say it's Zach Moss in a 60-40 timeshare, what are we guaranteed? 12, 14 touches per week? He's not even guaranteed to get the goal line carries. Josh Allen's going to get half of those. So, I mean, this week I did not like Zach Moss, and everything worked out as I had planned until he scored a pretty much garbage time touchdown and made me feel really stupid, but still 18 yards on the ground, that's not going to get it done. So I would lean to say more towards bust, but at the same time, I mean, with the state of running back right now, he's in the RB3 territory.
Do you prefer him or Devin Singletary, who had just two carries for Moss. 1 yard plus three catches for 33 yards? Do you prefer Moss?
It's Moss for sure, because Singletary doesn't get the goal line carry, so there's absolutely zero upside with him. We've talked about him on the Start Sit podcast where, I don't necessarily think you should drop him because he does offer some stability at the running back position, which again is a mess, but at the same time, he's not going to win you a fantasy championship. You don't feel great putting him in your lineup every week. The floor is not extremely stable as we saw this week, so ugh.
Yeah, so can you drop Singletary?
If you want to, you can. It just depends on what else you have. I mean, this is the time where if you're not going to use Singletary in your starting lineup, I would absolutely cut him, like, for someone like, you know, if you look at Alexander Mattison, you look at guys like Jamal Williams. I'm sure a lot of people are going to start cutting him now that Aaron Jones is back healthy. But
yep,
those are guys that need to be rostered as like high-end handcuffs, because this is the time of the year, again, if your bye weeks are done, and you're getting past that, you grab guys on your bench that are legitimately injury only. Like, you just want the guys that are going to present RB1 upside if the starter goes down, and Devin Singletary doesn't do that.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that you're going to ever feel comfortable starting Devin Singletary. I mean, maybe if Zach Moss is out, but even then he wasn't really providing much value. So yeah, I agree. He can totally, we'll list him on the drop or keep tomorrow tags, and he's going to be a drop for me. Let's get to what's your problem, man. And look, I think he was here last week, but I think I'm just going to keep yelling at you about AJ Brown until you move him into your top. I will grant you the top seven, but until you move him into your top seven, I'm putting him here every week.
Hold on a second. I moved him up. Okay, so first off, he's at 9 right now. In the top 7, I think is bad, because here,
nope.
I want you to tell me which receiver you should put him over, because Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, DK Metcalf, and Calvin Ridley, and Keenan Allen are above him for me, because Keenan Allen, every single time that you've seen him on the field with Justin Herbert, I swear, I look up and it's like, all of a sudden, Keenan Allen, 5 catches, 55 yards before halftime. And you're like, every single week it happens. There's just so much reliability there. I like AJ Brown, but he still hasn't had a game with more than 9 targets.
Yeah, so I think this also probably is partially of the way that you and I do our rest of season rankings. Ridley was dealing with a foot injury, so it was going to be out this week, and he's got his bye next week. So he had been somebody who fell behind me. Michael Thomas, again, was somebody who we didn't even know was necessarily going to be active until this week. We really didn't know. So he was behind him for me. Going into this week, I had just Devontae Adams, Hopkins, Hill, Jones, and Metcalf above him. That's it. I had AJ Brown above everybody else. Do you know why tags? Legit, Keenan Allen, I won't argue with either. Keenan Allen's fine. You're right. You're absolutely right with Keenan Allen. It's ridiculous. A.J. Brown, there is never a point in the game where you are concerned that A.J. Brown is not going to produce. Like, never. It could be third quarter and he could have 0 targets and you could still say, yeah, I think A.J. Brown's going to be fine and produce in this game. He's got 6 touchdowns in his last 5 games, at least 1 touchdown in each of his last 5 games. You have 9th. I'm still going to bother you about it, but that's fine. If you moved him up to 9th.
He's a beast.
All right, he's a beast. That's fine. He was 13th for you. I was mad at it. That's fine. Let's go to number 2, TJ Hockenson. I'm going to just give you some stats. I'm going to ask you a question, Tex, okay? So you let me know what the answer is. In this past game, TJ Hockenson against the Vikings, 8 targets, 5 catches, 39 yards and a score. He's got 5 touchdowns on the season. He gets roughly 6 targets per game, catches roughly 4 of them. Kenny Golladay is week to week, so we don't necessarily expect him back. Why isn't TJ Hockenson a top 5 tight end going forward, Tex?
I think you can make the case. I honestly think I could move him up to number 6 if I wanted to. If I knew more about Kenny Galladay's injury and how long he was going to be out, I would actually move Hockenson up probably to number 6. I still think I'd rather have Dallas Goedert. I was looking at the rest of the season schedule, and Dallas Goedert's rest of the season schedule is fantastic, including in weeks 14, 15, and 16, which is when obviously the fantasy playoffs are going on. So once you get outside the top 5, though, even I guess you could say top 4. I don't know. It's tight end is such a mess right now. If you don't have Travis Kelce or Darren Waller, maybe even Rob Gronkowski you throw into that mix. Like, you don't feel great. You don't feel great about owning Mark Andrews right now, do you?
No, not at all. We're going to get to that. That's going to be the first game we're going to get to, Tags. Let's just get into it, in fact, Worrisome. I have, just to be clear, I have Hockenson. Right now, coming in, Tags, I had him at number four. I had him at number four because I have him behind Kelsey, behind Waller, and behind Andrews. With Galladay week to week, and again, I'm expecting Galladay to not return in the near future.
I'm waiting for the IR to happen.
That's fine. That's fine. Once he's on IR. But look, he's somebody who, you know, we talked about, he was really the biggest beneficiary because you think you'd see the uptick in targets, which you did in this game. You saw eight. Wasn't that great overall, but still, he finds the end zone. He gets involved, and there just aren't that many options that you want to trust. But let's get into this Ravens game because, again, a little concerning here about what's going on with this Ravens passing game. But let's start with the running game. No Mark Ingram here. J.K. Dobbins, 12 for 30 on the ground, plus 2 for 5 through the air. Gus Edwards, 11 for 23 on the ground. He does find the end zone. 2 catches for 11 yards. I haven't seen the snap counts into exactly how it broke down with them tagged, and it was a tough matchup. The Colts are a very solid defense, very solid against the run when Darius Leonard is there. But how do you feel about these running backs?
Well, Gus Edwards also fumbled basically on the goal line, which is never a good thing.
But he got the touchdown after that, I believe.
He did get the touchdown after that, which was like obviously a sign that they do trust him in that role. And we kind of figured that he'd be the goal line back for them with Mark Ingram out. How do I feel moving forward? I feel pretty gross about it because, you know, I started going through the rankings and I'm starting to get to the point where, you know, as I talked about, you're adjusting the rankings, figuring, okay, you know, people can drop guys like J.D. McKissic most of the time if you're past your bye weeks and you just want to start rostering the high upside guys. And I was like, how high does Dobbins go? Because I'm expecting Mark Ingram to come back next week. And I'm like, I mean, with Mark Ingram out, they're still splitting the work. It's not a true workhorse situation between those two. So it's like J.K. Dobbins, it was a brutal matchup for him this week, so I didn't expect too much. So it's like getting 12, 14 touches out of Dobbins. Okay, that's fine. And he'd probably be like a low-end RB2, but I don't think he's a league winner if Mark Ingram were to miss more time. So it's just a weird backfield. And with Mark Ingram back, it's like you can't guarantee any of them for more than 12 touches. So it just that you need a really, really, really good matchup for to start any of them with any confidence.
I wanted to think that, you know, this offense, because of the threat that Jackson brings, and I know they haven't looked that great, but I really just kind of felt like, you know what, they'll be able to solve any run defense because of the way Jackson opens it up. And if you're really telling me that Ingram is out and you've got Dobbins and you've got Edwards and those are the only two guys, there should be a lot of fantasy production. The fact that there wasn't is really disappointing. It's just not a backfield that I really want to attach myself to regardless, no matter what happens with Ingram. I mean, I'm sure, you can start Edwards, you can start Dobbins, but not with confidence when Ingram is out. When he's there, forget about it. I really just kind of want to avoid it. But the passing game, Tags, Lamar Jackson, he rushes for 58 yards. Finds the end zone, just 170 yards passing. Now, 19 for 23, okay? Yep. It was just more that he didn't have that many attempts, but they're not letting him do that much because he hasn't been that effective through the air, and that means Mark Andrews, 5 targets, 3 catches, 22 yards. Hollywood Brown, 5 targets, 3 catches, 38 yards. I know it sounds crazy, specifically with Andrews, but are you going to continue to recommend these guys as starters going forward?
I mean, you kind of have to with Andrews. You just know that he's going to snap out of it at some point and have a 2-touchdown game. With tight end, again, unless you have one of those top two guys, you don't feel great about it. So you kind of keep plugging away because we know what Mark Andrews' upside is. As for Marquise Brown, he's a difficult one, right? Like you thought that he might be a buy in fantasy football because, the target share that he'd been getting, the air yard share, everything, and like saying, okay, well, Lamar Jackson, if he gets better as a passer, you're obviously buying him at his floor. But every single week I see people, like analysts in our industry, ranking him as like, I think he was like 21 or 22 this week in ECR. And I mean, I don't know why we're expecting that type of performance anymore. I mean, going over his last 20 games played, he has top 57 yards just 4 times. I'm beyond the point. Like I'm done expecting it. I really am. And because the thing is like he hurts your starting lineup more often than he helps it. He's going to have a game at some point this season that you're going to be like, oh no, what did I do? But then, you know, the other 75% of the time you're going to be saying, I knew this is basically just who he is at this point.
Yeah. He's not someone you can rely on in any way. I mean, you had him 32nd. I had him 33rd going forward. I guess that's right around where I can't see moving him too far down, Tags. We talk about it all the time. Once you're in that range, like there just aren't that many great options.
I moved him to 35 right now.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be like suddenly he's 40th or 45th, but that's about what I'm going to do as well. He's just a guy who I don't really want to start him each and every week. And I was kind of, I hoped it was a squeaky wheel game, but just not going to happen. For the Colts, look, Jonathan Taylor looked effective early and he scored the touchdown, but then he lost a bad fumble. I think he came back in and got additional touches, but I didn't see many of them as I was watching the game in and out. So I assume he did get back in. I know they essentially split snaps with him and Wilkins and Naeem Hines. They all got roughly a third of the snaps, but Jordan Wilkins did out-touch him, 13 touches, 38 yards. Now matchups with Tennessee, Green Bay, Tennessee, Houston, Las Vegas is a good schedule. When I saw him get the touchdown, I was excited, yep. Even though, you know, you knew it was going to be, this was going to be the game, right? That he would do something. He would do it in this game when everybody had him on their bench, but then he fumbles. So how do you view this running game here, Tex?
It's going to be a difficult one to predict. I think we're starting to look more and more like a situation where it's like the Ravens, where, you know, there's going to be value in this run game, but where to find it every single week is going to be difficult because they do have some of the best matchups in the league coming up with two, as you mentioned, two matchups against Houston, a matchup against Green Bay. Those are the two, maybe the worst run defenses in football. And then you have obviously two games against Tennessee. The issue is that Jonathan Taylor struggled against Detroit last week.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit is right up there as one of the worst run defenses in football. We saw that on display again this week. So I want to say I would reach out to the Jonathan Taylor, the owner of him, and see what you can get him for, because we might be at the point where they're in full out sell mode, like six carries. Yeah. He scored a touchdown, and they might be thinking they're selling high because he scored that touchdown. But in reality, if he gets back into that primary 1-2 down role, the schedule is going to allow for some bigger performances. So see how cheap he is. I'm not saying that you should pay RB2 prices or anything like that, but if you can get him for like a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 in that range, I would do it.
And that's what the offers are going to be. And that's what they were coming in. I know because I have Taylor in many leagues. That's exactly the range of people coming. If I roster Taylor, I am just holding. That's it. I don't want to give him away at this point. I'm not excited. I don't know whether or not when the next time is I'm going to start him. Maybe next week. I don't really know. But either way, I'm not giving him away. And, you know, the fact that at least after a bad game last week, they went to him to start. And, you know, of course he fumbled, but hopefully next game they'll realize, well, you know, we should probably stick with him if he is going to be effective. Meanwhile, Michael Pittman returns, Tex, 4 for 56.
Well, he played last week, but it was very, he didn't really have much production.
Correct.
So he was kind of like off the radar, but yeah.
Yeah. So he's the leading receiver here with 56 yards. Zach Pascal, 5 for 55. I mean, does this make you more? We were interested in Pittman at one point in time before he got injured. Does this make you excited to roster Pittman, or is he off the radar?
It depends. I think Marcus Johnson has actually carved out a role in this team. And I wonder if they start mixing those two in, because T.Y. Hilton, if he comes back, this team is playing on Thursday night. So there's something to be said about that. Like, we don't know if T.Y. Hilton's going to be back, because if Hilton's still out, then it's like, okay, then we can start to consider Pittman a little bit. But I don't know. You know what the craziest stat I found already? Because I started looking into that game already, because it's just what I have to do to get the primer done. So the only Colts wide receiver who scored a touchdown this year is Zach Pascal. That's it.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
I know. Yeah. I mean, I was talking about it on our betting podcast about, you know, with the whole COVID issues with their secondary. And I said, why does it matter? None of the wide receivers get involved, really, you know? So, yeah, I agree. I mean, Pittman's somebody I'll keep my eye on, but I'm not really interested in getting a piece of this passing game. Let's go to the Bills, 44, Seahawks, 34. Huge game for Josh Allen here, 415 yards and 3 touchdowns, as well as a rushing touchdown. Touchdowns go to Tyler Kroft, Isaiah McKenzie, and Gabriel Davis. Stephon Diggs gets his, of course, 12 targets, 9 catches, 118 yards. Before we, sometimes we discuss our rankings or we tease each other, we ask each other questions, and I said, Tags, got like a tie in my rankings, and I've got an own roster where I have to think about what to do. Would you rather start Cole Beasley or John Brown? And you said without hesitation, John Brown. And that's why you 11 targets, 8 catches, 99 yards. Are you willing now to trust John Brown again, looking fully healthy and getting a ton of work in this game?
Not every week. This week was a real exception. I had him ranked as wide receiver 23 this week. I think I may have been the highest on him in the industry. It has to do with this matchup against Seattle. Seattle's been just brutal. They've been terrorized by wide receivers. Shaquille Griffin, one of their starting cornerbacks, was out this week. The Bills just don't run the ball very much, so I felt like the pass attempts were going to be there against Seattle, a team that's seen over 45 pass attempts per game. So I just felt like this was a one week where you could actually trust him. I don't know if you can say he's going to see 11 targets again this season. Just look for the matchups where they're going to struggle to run the ball, and then you're going to expect 40 plus pass attempts, because in those games you could start him. So I have John Brown ranked as a wide receiver 4 rest of the season.
Okay, that's fair. That's where I have him as well, but this was really encouraging. I was glad to see him get involved. They made a point to get him involved. And as long as he's healthy, he is pretty much going to provide you with serviceable fantasy numbers at the very least. We already talked about the running game here for Buffalo, so let's go to the Seahawks. You're probably never going to see Russell Wilson have four turnovers in a game again, but two picks, two fumbles, still throws for 390 and two touchdowns. He also sneaks one in. DK Metcalf gets the late score here, winds up with seven catches for 108 yards. Tyler Lockett, though, seven targets, just four catches for 40 yards. This is four out of the last five games, Tags, where he has had 44 yards receiving or fewer. The other one, of course, was a 200 yard game for him, but you're just continuing to roll out Tyler Lockett going forward, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you take it, you leave it. I mean, I think it was like two of the last five games or two of the last six games, he's finished as the wide receiver one. In every other game, he finished outside the top 50. It's just, unfortunately, that's what you're getting. But I looked ahead at the matchups, and you're going to have DK Metcalf matched up with Jalen Ramsey. Tough matchup. I mean, but again, DK Metcalf, you're starting him. I mean, it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter if he's going against Darrell Revis in his prime. You're going to start DK Metcalf. But Tyler Lockett, the matchup against the Rams is good, and then you go to the following week is against Arizona, and in that game, that's the team that he demolished for 200 yards just a couple weeks ago. So there's better days ahead for Tyler Lockett, and if your trade deadline is still open, I would go talk to his manager to see what you can get him for.
Meanwhile, DJ Dallas, nine touches, 39 yards, but he
Deontay Johnson.
What do you got?
Oh, it was a big play by him. I think 30 yard gain, 35 maybe down to the 10.
So as you guys know, we record this at the very end. Usually there's one Sunday night game going on. Tags may have a couple of, you know, DFS implications going on with Deontay Johnson. So if you hear him go a little excited, you'll know why. DJ Dallas, nine touches, 39 yards. He does find the end zone in this one. Do you just continue to start him so long as Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde are out?
Yeah, I don't know. I was actually so torn on him. If you would have watched the live stream this morning, you would have seen me like kind of like going back and forth on this, because I was like, I don't know how to feel about him. I really didn't, because you had Travis Homer actually healthy practicing, and then they elevated Alex Collins from the practice squad up to the active roster, and it was like, oh, I don't know how to feel about it. And it was like I ended up with him at RB 22 or 23, so it was kind of like I was kind of playing both sides. I wasn't all in, but I wasn't all out either. So it was good for him to see the touchdown, but this is a mess. I mean, it really comes down to schedule. I haven't looked at who the Seahawks play next week. Do you know that off the top of your head?
I do know it. It is the Rams.
The Rams. I mean, it's not a bad matchup, but again, I'm guessing we're probably going to see Chris Carson back for that game. DJ Dallas, I guess he's worth holding on to just until we find out more about Chris Carson, but I don't think he's an every week start, like guaranteed though.
Okay, before we keep going, guys, I talk about my family and my life a lot. And for those of you who've been listening while, you know, I live in New Hampshire, but my family is from New York. And as my relatives, as my mother, as they start getting older, I worry about what's going to happen if there is some sort of medical emergency. Because when that happens and you need to be transported to a hospital, you are usually hit with this massive bill that you're not expecting. I have seen it happen a ton to my friends, to my friends' parents. And when that happens, everybody just says, how can this be the way it works? How can I have to get transported to the hospital and get hit with this massive bill? But now, for my mother especially, and for my relatives, we found Air Med Care Network, and we rest a little bit easier because members get world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses, not a dime. It's a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships to Air Med Care Network cost as little as $85 a year for your whole household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just go to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use offer code Fantasy Pros. All right, let's go to the Falcons 34, Broncos 27. Matt Ryan, 284 yards, three touchdowns with an interception. One to Zacchaeus, who is your leading receiver with 103 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Powell also scores one, as does Julio Jones. Seven targets, five catches, 54 yards and a touchdown. No Calvin Ridley in this one. Russell Gage disappoints, six targets, two catches, and 11 yards. They've got a bye next week, Tags. I'm assuming Ridley is going to be back after that. I'm not sure there's much to break down really on this passing game. Do you disagree?
No. Where do you have Hayden Hurst rest of the season?
That is a good... Now, I haven't updated it, Tags, like you do. I know you get to work right off that. For rest of season, I have Hayden Hurst... Oh, way lower than you, bud. I had him 12th coming in. Now, he's going to move up. He's going to move up after this. But item 12. And again, my rest of season rankings, I think of it like trade. That's what I use as the basis for my trade chart. So I factor in bye weeks, especially. So especially once he's passed his bye week, he'll move up. But right now he was 12th. And I see that he was 6th for you Are you happy with the performance that you got out of him?
Yeah, that's where I'm going to keep him six. I have Hockenson seven. Jonnu Smith has moved down to eight right now just because the targets just haven't been there. Like 10 targets over the last four games for him. But yeah, fun story. My wife came down to me and asked me this morning. She set a DFS lineup and she got to her flex spot. And she was like, she had Greg Olsen in there. And I was like, why? I like the rest of her lineup though. And I was like, why? And she's like, well, tell me someone. It's like she had minimum price left, right? So I looked through the minimum price receivers and I was like, go with Zacchaeus. Sure enough, he catches a touchdown like the first quarter.
Well,
and she was just
hopefully she's like, well, that makes everything you do worth it. My wife does not know what DFS is, so I'm gonna we're on different planes there. Okay, Todd Gurley though tags another guy like Zach Moss, who you said basically frustrated you.
I am so mad about this one.
Correct process, wrong results. I get 19 for 53, obviously not that effective. He only has two catches for 2 yards. He gets the late touchdown. There are always the touchdowns, though, tags. That's the big thing with Gurley. He just finds the touchdowns. Are you fading him going forward? I mean, he's got to buy New Orleans, then Las Vegas, then New Orleans again, then the Chargers, then the Bucks. Are you fading him going forward?
Yeah, he's got two matchups with the Saints on the remainder of the season. Those are brutal matchups. A matchup with the Bucks, as you mentioned, is a brutal matchup. I mean, I'm still selling Todd Gurley. This was a matchup I didn't expect much out of him, honestly. And Denver had allowed, I think, three running back touchdowns all season. So I was kind of almost saying, all right, I'm going to take my chances that Gurley doesn't score. Because if he didn't score in this game, he legit is finishing outside the top 30 running back. So I ranked him as like, I think 17 or 18. So I didn't go all out on him, but it's basically the game that I thought he'd have when he scored a touchdown. And of course it came late in the game where he's kind of just fell in there. But yeah, again, if your trade deadline's still there, I'd be selling him. That's the question though, Dan, is like, what do you sell someone like Todd Gurley for? Because like people aren't going to like buy him for sky high prices. They're not, you're not going to get a Kareem Hunt for him. For example,
right.
You know?
Yeah, it's been hard for me to figure out where to rank Todd Gurley. Now, my ranking of him rest of season is going to change pretty significantly because the schedule, you know, the ranking is factored into the schedule. Now that he's past the schedule, it's going to go down. Gurley is always one of the most traded players, tags. I do that article, most traded players. And I really think it's because his managers are trying to sell him. I mean, I guess I'm not sure. I used to think it was because he was in the David Montgomery mold of guys who are going to get guaranteed touches who you're not going to like, but he finds the end zone so often. So maybe his managers are frequently selling him high. Maybe you can get someone like Kareem Hunt for him or even higher than that. So I don't know, but coming now, right now, after he scored another touchdown, this is really when I would pull the trigger, especially with his bye going forward. If you can, don't look at him to lock him up for the playoffs. Find somebody who may not understand exactly what's going on underneath the hood, and I would deal him. Other than the Broncos, Tim Patrick does play here. He catches a touchdown, but it's really Jerry Jeudy. 14 targets, 7 catches, 125 yards, and a score. KJ Hamler also sees 10 targets, 6 catches, 75 yards. Can you start a Broncos wide receiver confidently going forward, Tags?
Ooh, confidently. I don't think every single week. I don't think any of them are every week starters. Tim Patrick still gets 9 targets in this game coming off a hamstring injury. They threw the ball 48 times. This doesn't happen very often. Drew Locke never throws the ball. He never throws for more than 250 yards in a game. So this was one of those exceptions against the Falcons. There was a ton of garbage time here. Jerry Jeudy is the closest you're going to get. And they say that he's been getting better and better in practice as like a practice player because they said he struggled a little bit coming in, which is good. But at the same time, if there's not consistency with Drew Locke, there's not going to be consistency with someone like Jerry Jeudy. It is good to know that they're playing him on the perimeter a little bit, and he did again today, and his touchdown was actually a thing of beauty in yes. terms of what he did to the cornerback. But he's as close as you're going to get, but he's still a guy that I have. He's clearly in the wide receiver 4 territory.
Yeah, he's closer to borderline wide receiver 3 at this point, but yes, I agree. I love Jeudy, though. I love him as a talent, and so I always look for reasons to get him in. So if you told me that you're starting Jerry Jeudy every single week regardless, I wouldn't necessarily argue with you, but I agree that he's the closest. But just outside of that, I think they're still on a tough matchup. You could fade him. Noah Fant, by the way, was decent here, too. 3 catches all 3 of his targets for 45 yards. He did leave for a little bit, but he came back in. How about the running backs, though, here? Tags Lindsay, 8 for 23 on the ground. Gordon, 6 for 18, plus 1 catch for 9. Can you or do you want to start either Denver running back going forward?
I mean, it's starting to look, this is such a frustrating game because I feel like there's some times where NFL coaches legitimately just don't even look at the strengths of their opponent and try to adjust their game plan to it. Because Melvin Gordon's a guy that is a good receiver out of the backfield, and the Falcons are a team that really, really struggles with pass catchers out of the backfield. They have actually been very, very good against running backs on the ground. I think the 6th best team in the NFL in terms of what I have in my spreadsheets. So it's just, it's almost like they didn't adjust their game plan. It was just stupid, not involving their running backs in the past. Passing game early on, move the sticks, keep the ball out of Atlanta's hands. But It's really difficult because it seems like they want to move forward with Philip Lindsay as their running back, but you can't really value Philip Lindsay more than Melvin Gordon because Philip Lindsay doesn't do anything in the passing game. Even when he did get targets, he got 3 targets today. I saw one of them he dropped.
Right.
And the other two, I can't recall off the top of my head, but he's not particularly good in the passing game. So they're both evenly valued. I think I value Melvin Gordon just a slight bit more, but it's ugly.
Yeah, it's really ugly. And this matchup is not one that we should be coming off of and saying, man, it's really ugly there. This should be a good one. They have Las Vegas next week, but I don't know how you can feel confident about it given what happened in this one. So yeah, I agree with you. Like if you have Melvin Gordon, and even if you have Philip Lindsay, like most weeks, you're probably going to be forced to start them as long as teams are on bye, but it's not going to be something that I'm going to do confidently. Chiefs 33, Panthers 31, Patrick Mahomes 372, and 4 touchdowns. Very good, of course. Tyreek Hill catches 2 of them. 18 targets, 9 catches, 113 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, 10 catches for 159 yards. But let's talk about the running backs here, Tags. Look, Clyde Edwards-Helaire catches a touchdown pass, 3 catches for 20 yards, 5 rushing attempts, 5 for 14 yards. Le'Veon Bell, 4 rushing attempts for 8 yards. 19 rushing attempts combined over Edwards-Helaire's last 3 games. I mean, I guess you can continue to start him given that he's so involved, generally speaking. But how do you feel about Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point, Tag? He's just not getting any opportunities in the backfield.
I wanted to lower him further in my rest of season rankings, but I can't find running backs that I like. I don't want Todd Gurley over him, even though I probably should at this point, considering the production. The Chiefs cannot run the ball. That's bottom line. They can't run the ball right now. And I think it's their offensive line is struggling to get any push up front. They have had some injuries up there. They had the opt out and COVID, but they can't run the ball. And that's weird to say for an Andy Reid offense, because I don't think it's on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because if you actually watch those games with him, he's good. He is very good. And that's why they're involving him in the passing game. He breaks tackles. He slips tackles. He's elusive as hell. But this offensive line is just not getting any blocking, and they're just going to sit back and rely on Patrick Mahomes. If there's one thing that can stop the Kansas City Chiefs from winning the Super Bowl again, it's the fact that they don't have a steady run game.
Can you drop Le'Veon Bell?
No. No, you do not drop him.
Okay. How about DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman here? Robinson catches the touchdown. Hardman has 48 yards. Are you willing to start either one on kind of a weekly basis?
No.
Okay. Good enough for me. Panthers, look, we talked about CMC. 18 for 69, plus a touchdown on the ground. Catches all 10 of his targets for 82 yards and a score through the air. There's not much to say here. He is very good. We already talked about Curtis Samuel. Robbie Anderson sees 13 targets, catches 9 of them for 63 yards. I think that's perfectly fine. You know, expected maybe not as much yardage as you wanted. But DJ Moore, 3 targets, 2 catches, 18 yards. Give me your thoughts on DJ Moore here going forward.
I was lower on him than consensus, and I was really struggling to find out why he was so high. Like, I always try and take a look at the end of the week and say, what players am I considered to be extremely high on, and like in compared to the industry, right? Because there's a lot of smart guys in the industry, and it's like I always try and say, where's my process wrong? Am I overlooking something? And it might force me to take a second look. Like someone like John Brown, for example, I was much higher on him, and I looked at everything. I'm like, no, I know why I'm high on him. I'm keeping him there. I'm sticking with that. DJ Moore was someone I had like 10 spots lower, and it was like, what am I missing here? I mean, the guy sees between 4 and 6 targets almost every single game. He's not getting the elite target share. It does happen every now and then, but are you betting on that to happen? And on top of that, the Chiefs are a really good football team against wide receivers. They're not a team that allows, I think coming into this game, they had played 8 games and they had allowed 6 or 7 wide receivers to finish top 40 against them all year. So it wasn't a smash spot. So knowing that I liked Robbie Anderson a little bit better, it was like, I don't know why people like DJ Moore in this matchup. I didn't like him in this matchup. It's not to say that you shouldn't buy low on him as a wide receiver 3 moving forward, but knowing that people still view him as like a middling wide receiver 2, I don't know, man. I just don't understand that. I like the player, but the way that he's being used in this offense does not present stability in fantasy football.
And the thing is, his fantasy managers aren't willing to, I think, value him in the way his actual value is. I think there's the perceived value that still outweighs what it needs to be from at least if you're rostering him. So yeah, this is just somebody, I mean, for me, Tags, we had him basically the same coming in, like a borderline wide receiver 2. Are you dropping him a couple of spots at this point, or that's basically where he is going forward?
Yeah, I have him right around wide receiver 24 right now.
Yep. And that's about where I am too. He's not a guy, I mean, you're not completely avoiding him, but I agree that generally speaking, I feel like sometimes...
Can we make the case to someone like Travis Fulgham over DJ Moore?
I have Fulgham higher.
What about T. Higgins?
I have T. Higgins a couple of spots lower, but that's, again, this is something now where Higgins passes by.
Mm-hmm.
I could see moving Higgins ahead of him now too as well. Yeah, he was just passing, but I've already had Fulgham a couple spots ahead, Tags. I trust Fulgham each week more than I do at this point more. Mm-hmm. So I think Higgins is right in that range as well. Let's go to the Titans 24, Bears 17 here. Not the prettiest game for the Titans. Tough matchup. Derrick Henry, 21 for 68 on the ground. Ryan Tannehill throws for just 158 yards. He does throw two touchdowns, one to A.J. Brown, as we discussed. One to Jonnu Smith, just two targets here, two catches, 32 yards. But again, he finds the end zone. Meanwhile, Corey Davis, three targets, no catches. Any thoughts on this game here, Tags, from the Titans side, or is this just a tough matchup and not too much unexpected?
Yeah, like this was efficiency meets the opposite of that. Right. And like the defense won in this situation. Tannehill only threw the ball 21 times. We talked about in the Start Sit podcast, I did not like Corey Davis this week. I felt like his matchup on Kyle Fuller's side of the field the majority of time was going to be troublesome for him. So to see him walk away with three targets, no catches, it's almost like we've compared him to Devontae Parker, right? In terms of like Parker's season in 2019, Parker had a game against the Patriots. It was like around, I think, week three, week four, where he had nothing, like legit nothing. And everybody said, "Up, Devontae Parker sucks again." And then he went the rest of the season and was like, he played extremely well. And I don't think he finished with like fewer than 55 yards the rest of the season. It was something ridiculous. But Corey Davis, I don't think he's in that territory just because this is a run first offense, but this was just a brutal matchup. I don't think you should take too much from it. Corey Davis never should have been an every week wide receiver three for you, in my opinion. I just don't think this team has enough volume to produce two consistently weekly top 36 wide receivers. So Corey Davis is right around wide receiver 40 on the rest of the season for me.
Okay. Well, you moved him up at least from where you had him. That's interesting to me. Cause yeah, I've had him closer to a borderline wide receiver three. Again, every week until this week, he basically either had the yardage or the touchdown, but this was not all that unexpected. And I think it's more of an error on me. Like, I don't think I reflected enough when I did my projections, just how tough his matchup really was. But yeah, just, you know, Bears are a solid defense. And I like the way you put it and the way finally efficiency sort of met what their match was. For the Bears, David Montgomery, 17 touches for 42 yards. He left late in this game with a concussion. I don't want to cannibalize the waiver wire show, Tag, but any interest in Ryan Nall, who did score a receiving touchdown, if Montgomery can't play, or are you just avoiding the backfield entirely?
I'm avoiding the Bears if I can.
Okay. Not Allen Robinson, at least, right?
No, I mean, not him, but he's like, I mean, it's hard to remain interested while playing for this offense because, I mean, I know the end of the day, people are going to look at him and be like, well, Foles threw for 335 yards, two touchdowns. If you watch that game before garbage time, before the fourth quarter, Nick Foles was legit probably in the running for worst quarterback in the NFL. This Bears offense has lost. The defense has gotten to I'm surprised the defense hasn't just given up yet. Just said, you know what? you guys just don't do it. You don't get it done. I mean, they played right. Really well against the Titans offense today, but unfortunately the offense just is not getting it done. So I don't want to play Ryan Nall.
Okay, so no interest in Anthony Miller, who had 5 for 59, Jimmy Graham 6 for 55 with the score. Darnell Mooney 11 targets, 5 catches. 43 yards. No interest in any of them going forward?
Not really. I mean, they threw the ball 52 times. This was a week where I actually thought in two quarterback leagues, I actually like Nick Foles a little bit in two quarterback leagues this week because of that. And then next week they do play against Minnesota. So it's a good matchup. And they have their bye week. So maybe you can play them one more week against Minnesota. But this offense, you just want to be as far away from it as you can.
Okay. Vikings 34, Lions 20. Dalvin Cook, 22 carries, 206 yards.
Good.
And two touchdowns. Add on 46 yards receiving just for fun. How many running backs would you take over Dalvin Cook rest of season?
One. Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey?
Yep.
Good enough for me. With the running game humming, though, Tags, and we've talked about this before, the Vikings just don't need to throw that much. Cousins just 20 pass attempts. He does throw three touchdown passes, so his production is fine. Two of them go to Irv Smith, who has just 10 yards on those two receptions. One to Amir Abdullah, who really just did all the work himself. But because of all that, Tex, are you at all concerned about Justin Jefferson? Four targets, three catches, 64 yards. Or Adam Thielen, five targets, two catches, 38 yards going forward?
Yep. I've dropped them both in my season-long rankings. And I actually suggested selling Thielen last week in the buy-sell-hold thing that I do. just because he's not a guy that's seeing consistent targets enough to be a wide receiver one in fantasy football. If you have him as your wide receiver two, you'll deal with some of those ups and downs, but it's looking like more downs than ups this year. Justin Jefferson's emergence kind of took away some of the ceiling that Adam Thielen had every, or the floor he had every single week, and then vice versa, right? Thielen's still the number one target there. Justin Jefferson's in a run first offense. The team that's throwing the ball, I think it's definitely less than 30 times per game. I don't know the exact number right now, but I've moved him down to wide receiver 27 on the season. I have Thielen at wide receiver 15. I could move them both down if I really wanted to.
Yeah, no, I can't really argue with any of that. And I was always a little higher on both Thielen and Jefferson than you were coming into each week. Not this week as much, still higher on Thielen, but I am going to now after this week significantly move him down. Jefferson, we were right there. But yeah, I with Cook back, I mean, this is just the way the offense is going to work when it's working well. And that just is going to take away the targets. For the Lions, Matthew Stafford, questionable coming in with the COVID stuff. He does play, but he also leaves with a concussion. He doesn't play great anyway, 211 yards and the one touchdown, two picks. We already talked about TJ Hockenson. Marvin Jones does find the end zone. Danny Amendola, 10 targets, 7 catches, 77 yards. DeAndre Swift, meanwhile, 13 for 64 on the ground, plus 3 catches for 33 yards through the air. Obviously, things can change a little bit if Stafford can't return, but I don't know, Tags, this game didn't really move the needle for me on any Lions player. What about you?
No, not really. I mean, Marvin Jones went back to Marvin Jones. Like, it's like touchdown or bust. He's not the high yardage guy anymore. The Minnesota secondary looks terrible, too, so I figured it would have been a bigger game for him, but...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, no, it doesn't really move the needle. If anything, it moves it down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, Marvin Jones, if he's not going to, I mean, he scored the touchdown, so kudos to, you know, he did his fantasy manager as well. But if he's not going to produce in this matchup without Galladay and with the secondary, then it's just...
Yeah, and Dan, how do you feel about DeAndre Swift moving forward? Because, like, seriously, like, again, he's another one that every week people are ranking him as, like, top 15 running back, and I don't really understand it because they're still giving Kerryon Johnson touches. They're still giving Adrian Peterson touches. I don't know.
I've got him 20th. I add him 20th coming in. This game doesn't move the needle for me. They're just, again, you get to that point. And again, this is a point where it's like Kenyon Drake's below him because I don't know when Kenyon Drake is coming back. Of course, I'd much prefer Kenyon Drake when he's healthy. So he's 20th. That's usually where he winds up for me, generally speaking. I mean, look, he gets the guaranteed volume in the passing game at least. But yeah, he's just, it's unexciting touches, but that equals kind of a low end RB2 each week. And that's where I have him ranked going forward. Yeah. Texans 27, Jaguars 25. Another concussion here. David Johnson leaves early. Duke Johnson winds up with 73 total yards and a score. Will Fuller 100 and a score. Brandon Cooks 83 and a score. Deshaun Watson throws 2 touchdown passes. He rushes for 50 yards. Like the Lions, Tags, other than the fact that you are putting in one D Johnson for the other D Johnson, this is just kind of what I expected here in this game against a weak defense. You just start everyone, right? And if David Johnson's going to miss a week, we'll talk about that in the waiver wire show. But other than that, this is just kind of what I expect in a week in a matchup against the soft defense. How about you?
Yep, pretty much. They it's like pick your poison against the Jaguars. You can do whatever you want. You can get it down the ground. You can go through the air. You can do whatever you want. And they kind of did. I mean, at 27 points is somewhat of a disappointment, especially considering they opened with 20 points in the first half. But in the end, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. That's right, just like this podcast. For the Jaguars, LaVisca Chenault leaves with a hammy injury, but Jake Luton opens it up right out of the gate. 73-yard score to DJ Chark. He finishes with 304 yards, a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown with a gorgeous spin move and a pick. I mean, DJ Chark, 12 targets, 7 catches, 146 yards, and the score, James Robinson, 25 for 99 and a score. So is this... Number one, is this Jake Luton's job going forward? And if so, is that a good thing for this offense? Or was that just, you know, capitalizing on a soft matchup?
It's a bit of, I think they're going to move forward with him for right now because Minshew had two fractured bones in his throwing hand and like a strained muscle too.
A ligament. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something odd, but Luton played well enough to obviously go with him, you know, next week. But this matchup against Houston was not only a great matchup to begin with, but they were also without their top cornerback, Bradley Roby, in this game. So I mean, he latched onto DJ Chark. That's all we can ask for.
Yes, that is all as fantasy managers we could ask for, especially Chark, I'm sure, was thrilled because of how mad he had been getting with Gardner Minshew. They've got Green Bay coming up in their next matchup. Giants 23, Washington 20. The big thing from this game, of course, is Kyle Allen, who I guess has the early diagnosis was a dislocated ankle and a small fracture. It looks certain that he's going to be done for the season, I would imagine. Alex Smith, 24 of 32, 325 yards, good. A touchdown, good. Three interceptions, not so good. Antonio Gibson, just 6 carries for 20 yards. He does find the end zone, though, and 3 catches for 35 yards. J.D. McKissick, 14 targets, 9 catches, 65 yards. So they were behind all game here, tags, and you know, now we've got Alex Smith maybe. So how do you feel about Antonio Gibson going forward?
How do I feel about Gibson? The same way I felt going in. It's volatile. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that coming out of the bye week that they used him in a bigger fashion. Unfortunately, we don't really know. What we do know is that J.D. McKissick saw 14 targets.
Right.
That's always the way it's going to be, though. That's why McKissick was someone that you could work through bye weeks, because you felt like Washington, you know, in a neutral game script, it's going to favor someone like, you know, Antonio Gibson. They're never going to be in a blowout game where they're winning. But then you go to negative game scripts, and that's going to benefit someone like McKissick. But again, I had hoped during the bye week that they would move more towards Antonio Gibson in that role. It didn't help that he fumbled early in this game. I don't know if that affected some of the usage that he got in the passing game. But yeah, it didn't change too much for me. I have my RB20 on the rest of the season. There's definitely room for growth there. So I bake that into his ranking a little bit, because on a weekly basis, I don't think that he's anything more than a low-end RB2.
And Terry McLaurin, basically by himself, 8 targets, 7 catches, 115 yards, and the touchdown. His touchdown was very much an individual effort. Does his value change for you at all going forward if it is indeed Alex Smith?
Alex Smith has supported fantasy wide receivers before, much more than Dwayne Haskins. So, you know, obviously, you know, Smith played the majority of this game. The Giants matchup for wide receivers is not a great one, especially number one receivers. They've done a good job with James Bradbury kind of limiting the production of those guys. So Terry McLaurin had a really good game considering.
Yep. Absolutely. He's a great talent. One of my favorite wide receivers in the game, actually. Yep. For the Giants, no Devonta Freeman here. So Wayne Gallman, again, 14 carries, 68 yards, and a score. Alfred Morris continues to factor in, 9 carries for 67 yards. What's your value for Wayne Gallman going forward?
I'm worried. They're going to play against Philadelphia this week. Not a good matchup. It's a terrible matchup, actually. And my concern is that Devonta Freeman's going to come back, and it's going to turn into a 50-50 timeshare where we can't trust either of them, because Gallman's played good enough over the last 3 weeks to warrant at least a timeshare with Devonta Freeman, whether it's 50-50, 60-40, doesn't matter. But this week, this matchup coming up against the Eagles is not one you really want to attack with running backs. But again, if Freeman stays out, Gallman's going to remain in that high-end RB3 territory, because he's a guy that's locked into, you know, a dozen to 15 touches per game. That's worth something in fantasy football, even if it doesn't come with high efficiency against the Eagles. So it's going to force the Giants to make some decisions, even when Devonta Freeman comes back.
Absolutely. Your leading receiver, as everyone expected, is Austin Mack with 4 catches for 72 yards and a near touchdown. The actual touchdown does go to Evan Ingram, though. 10 targets, 5 catches, 48 yards, and the score. Sterling Shepard, 8 targets, 6 catches, 39 yards. Darius Slayton, very quiet here, just 1 catch for 6 yards. Does your value change on any Giants pass catcher after this game?
Stick it to Golden Tate and say, Austin Mack, we're going to target you 5 times and you're going to get it done. Slayton, this is a floor that I didn't think was possible. I mean, we knew with Shepard coming back that it would lower his target ceiling and his floor, for that matter. But one target? Ugh.
Yeah.
Not great, man. I mean, he definitely lowered down my board, but it's weird. It seems like they game plan some games to get the ball in his hands and they take a ton of shots down the field. Does that happen in week 10 against the Eagles? I guess time will tell.
Yeah. All right. Raiders 31, Chargers 26. I'm going to be as honest as possible. Tags, we started recording this right at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. I legitimately saw the Chargers score a touchdown at the end of the game, and then I turned it off. And my guess is that they
overturned it.
Okay. So Raiders 31, Chargers 26. My bad on that one, everybody. So Derek Carr throws for only 165 yards. He does throw for 2 touchdowns. One of them goes to Nelson Agholor, who reemerges after his quiet day. 3 targets, 2 catches, and 55 yards in the score. And Darren Waller, who sees 10 targets, 5 catches, 22 yards only, but he does see a score. Now, Josh Jacobs has 14 carries for 65 yards and the touchdown. Devonta Booker, also the early touchdown, 8 carries, 68 yards, and the touchdown. They both look good running the ball. Booker probably looked better. And early on, I was a little worried because Jacobs wasn't in the game very much in the early series. And then he got going. So what do you think here, Tags? Does this, I mean, we can talk about the passing game, but we know the only guy who you confidently start is Darren Waller. So, I mean, Jacobs scores the touchdown. He was questionable coming in. Does Booker factoring in as much as he did change anything for you in that analysis? Or is he still a rock solid kind of RB1?
He's still a borderline RB1. I have him at 12 in my rest of season rankings. The schedule for him is not great down the stretch either. It is what it is. I mean, he's a better version of David Montgomery. A guy that's going to get those touches, maybe not as involved in the passing game. He only gets one target here. I'm so tired of offseason talk. Like, Derrick Henry going to be more involved in the passing game. Josh Jacobs going to catch 60 balls.
He did catch a pass for 3 yards, if that does make you feel better.
Oh, man. No,
I understand. You're right. It is frustrating. Yeah, of course, because you hear all the stuff. And then, you know, I don't know about you, Tags, but when I feel like, you know, fantasy managers, they reach out to you and they're like, well, what about this? Why do you have this so low? This said this. And it's just like, so much of it is just noise, you know?
It really is. And I sometimes wish you could just fast forward through all that coach speak crap and just say, like, look at the moves they did. Look at the players they brought on the roster. Look who they re-signed in Jalen Richard. Look who they drafted, Lynn Bowden, and say, okay, the targets really aren't going to be there. And that was my initial thing. And then it was like all the injuries started happening and it was like, all right, I could start to see more targets. I could see it. And then we're back to, you know, Gruden and Olsen calling plays.
So meanwhile, for the Chargers, Tags, Justin Jackson, was it warm-ups?
I want to talk about it.
And we have to talk about it. Is that when the injury happened, in warm-ups, or did he get a snap actually in the game?
He did in the first, it was like one of the first few plays of the game. He got hurt.
Okay, that's
right. And he apparently came back for a snap later in the game, but he was only for like one snap. I don't know.
Okay.
It's frustrating.
Well, what's your problem? Why weren't you ranking Kalen Ballage as an RB2 this week, Tex? 15. I mean, this should show you what they feel about Joshua Kelly here. Joshua Kelly, 9 for 28 on the ground. He does catch all 5 of his targets for 31 yards. Kalen Ballage, though, 15 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown. He also catches 2 passes for 15 yards. And when he was in there, I don't know, man, he looked like he was running well. He really did. When I was watching it, I was like, oh, he's got some, maybe it's just the line, but he looked like he got some push, looked like a little burst. So I don't know, Tags, let's assume Justin Jackson is out here. We haven't heard anything about Austin Eckler, at least I haven't. No. So what do you do here with these running backs if Jackson is out?
I don't think I could ever bring myself to start Kalen Ballage in fantasy football. I mean, he had the game that I expected for Justin Jackson. I aggressively ranked Jackson this week. I bumped him up in a top 15 running back play this week and ahead of Ezekiel Elliott, you know, and I was just like, all right, this is going to work out. And the process was right because they certainly don't want to trust Joshua Kelly. Tremaine Pope was inactive for this game. So that's why Ballage was active to begin with. Injuries happen, you know, these things happen, but Kalen Ballage, he did look better in this offense than he has within Adam Gase's offenses, which, doesn't everybody. So maybe I should rethink that a little bit, but I'm just a little let down by Justin Jackson being knocked out so early.
Of course. Meanwhile, Herbert throws for 326 yards and 2 touchdowns. With the big one, of course, to Keenan Allen, we talked about. I mean, you know, he's a top, I don't know. What is he for you, Tex? 11 targets, 9 catches.
I have a number 7 or number 8.
Yeah. I think I had him 12th coming in. That's way too low at this point. I've really got to bump him up. Mike Williams, 7 targets, 5 catches, 81 yards. He did leave late in this game. I don't know how serious it was or exactly what the injury was. It was on an attempted touchdown catch. So hopefully he's okay. I don't know anything about his injury, but he does, in the end, wind up with decent fantasy production. Let's go to the Steelers, 24, and the Cowboys, 19. A very bizarre game here, Tags. I mean, the Steelers played terribly to get going. James Conner was supposed to be a smash spot. 9 carries for 22 yards. 3 of those came at the very end where he didn't gain any yards at all. He also catches 2 passes for -2 yards. Out of curiosity, they abandoned the run entirely. And their offense was working much better. It wasn't so much as they were in help, I need to catch up immediately sort of mode because they had the whole game, but they just went to more of Ben out of the shotgun. Maybe that was part of it because he got a little banged up there at the end with his knee. So maybe that was more of what it was, but are you at all concerned about Connor completely falling flat in what was the softest of matchups?
No, the game script got away from them, and I think it could have been an oversight on their part. it's just as easy that he makes up for it the next couple of weeks. They have Cincinnati and Jacksonville the next 2 weeks in their schedule, and you're going to have James Conner back in your lineup as an RB1 in those games. Just shake it off. It was just a bad game and a game script that no one could have predicted, because again, even if you go back in time and say, I'm going to redo my rankings and I'm going to rethink it and say, what happens if this is even a close game? No one would have said the Cowboys would jump out to a multiple touchdown lead.
No one
could suggest that. So it's just one of those things that got away from them.
Okay, so with the fact that they threw so many times, Ben Roethlisberger attempted 42 passes and he threw for 306 yards and 3 touchdowns. Let's just talk about the Steelers wide receivers as we do every week, because I don't know about you, Tags. When I do the Instagram live at 10 to 11, you have the YouTube channel at, you know, the Start Sit Show, 11 to 12. Everybody just constantly says, rank the three, who am I starting of the Steelers wide receivers? And the answer is always, it's legitimately like within 6 spots for me, for all of them. But Juju Smith-Schuster, 7 targets, 6 catches, 93 yards, and the touchdown. Deontay Johnson, 10 targets, 6 catches, 77 yards. Chase Claypool, 13 targets, 8 catches, 69 yards. They throw in a little running. So talk to me about the wide receivers, the three wide receivers going forward. I will mention, by the way, Eric Ebron also caught a touchdown, at the James Washington. But talk to me about the three wide receivers.
Yeah, they're all startable right now. I mean, they really are, and especially against the games we were just talking about. They have matchups with the Bengals and the Jaguars the next 2 weeks. After that, it's Baltimore and Washington gets a little bit more difficult, and then the playoff schedule gets better. I don't know how you bench any of them, right? Like, Juju Smith-Schuster starting to get the targets that we hoped he would get at the beginning of the season. Deontay Johnson is a guy that has seen double-digit targets in, like, all but one game where he's been healthy. And then Chase Claypool obviously delivers monster upside every single week. So, yeah, you got to kind of start these guys.
Yeah, I do rank them as starters. I mean, do you, Tags? I rank all three of them as starters every week. I don't have a strong preference among them. I don't know if you do. Like, I'm not just like, yeah. Start them all. If you're forcing me to choose, I always have a slight preference, but you just throw them out there and you don't worry about them too much, right?
Correct.
Okay. Let's finish it up here with the Dolphins 34 and the Cardinals 31.
You don't even want to talk about the Cowboys then?
Oh, I forgot about the Cowboys, didn't I?
I don't actually. I don't blame you.
No, it's funny because I hesitated before I went. I was like, did I do this? Did I talk about both of these? I do this in the Betting Bros podcast all the time. I just skip a game every once in a while. So they look better, I guess, with Gilbert under center, 243 yards and a touchdown. He does throw the pick. The touchdown goes to CeeDee Lamb, who sees 7 targets, 4 catches, 71 yards, and the touchdown. He also loses a fumble. Amari Cooper catches all 5 of his targets for 67 yards. He had the weird thing with the running back situation where you thought Zeke was going to be active, but they were going to ease him in. He winds up with 18 carries for 51 yards. Pollard, 9 carries for 57 yards. All in all, Tags, for pretty much all these guys, if you said these are going to be your numbers against the Steelers in this game, you probably would have taken all of it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this was sort of an impressive showing by the Cowboys overall. So what does it do for your rest of season rankings for any of these guys?
I mean, part of me feels like everyone has been over destroying the Cowboys in terms of like what their rest of season projection is because of how bad they looked the last time they took the field. This one will calm them a little bit. But once Andy Dalton had a bad game, you know, against Washington, I think it was that week. Mm-hmm. Washington's been a really, really good defense this year under Ron Rivera, like legitimately one of the best against wide receivers. So when you take away wide receivers against the Cowboys, it's a real problem because nobody else has been producing for them. I didn't move Amari down, and I think I moved him down in my rankings, of course, but I don't think I moved him out of my top 20 wide receivers rest of the season. CeeDee Lamb was still someone I considered as a wide receiver 3, even if he was a low-end wide receiver 3. The matchup in this game, Mike Hilton was out for the Steelers. He's their slot cornerback, so the matchup was always going to be better for CeeDee Lamb. I just think that there was a little bit of an overreaction from everybody, but I think Amari Cooper should be fine. CeeDee Lamb still getting targets. Michael Gallup's the one I've always been worried about.
Right. Yeah, we were worried about him before there was any quarterback change, frankly. And I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Had Amari Cooper had a poor game, he would have been on What's Your Problem Man, because I was one of the ones who dropped him significantly. Instead, you could have What's Your Problem Man be on that one, because I was one of the ones who's like, I'm just off the Cowboys. This does give me a little bit of encouragement because they looked quote unquote competent in offense. Can I now move to the final game, Tag? Is that good? Have I covered?
You are able to, sir.
Wonderful. The Dolphins 34, the Cardinals 31. Certainly the offense looks better than they did against the Rams, even though they won that game for the Dolphins here. Jordan Howard, of course, you know, you have no running backs in this game. So Jordan Howard, thankfully, does his usual 10 carries, 19 yards. But of course, the end zone. Ahmed actually is your leading rusher, 7 carries for 38 yards. Tua throws 2 touchdown passes, 1 to Preston Williams, who looked like this was going to be a thing right now. He was getting targeted all the time. He was having a great game. 5 targets, 4 catches, 60 yards. And then he left with a foot injury. Apparently x-rays were negative, so hopefully it's just the sprain. With Devontae Parker really being the only guy for the entire game, he then got involved some. 7 targets, 6 catches, 64 yards. Mike Gesicki, 3 catches for 42 yards. So what do you think about this offense, Tex? Because I had moved everybody, Parker in particular, pretty significantly down in my rest of season rankings with Tua under center, because it just didn't look pretty that first game. But this looked a little better. So does this give you more confidence on Parker?
It looked a little better, but let's not forget, Arizona lost Chandler Jones, one of their best pass rusher on that defense. They were down 2 of their cornerbacks in this game, Drake Kirkpatrick and Byron Murphy. He was off of this game with COVID, I think. So the Cardinals were far from a healthy team. I just think it's crazy that Miami won this game, you know, that they won the shootout, even though Kyler Murray limits the turnover, just one fumble. Miami's a real team, man. They're 5-3 right now. Defense is playing extremely well. I know it doesn't look great on the stat sheet this week, but they're actually, this is a solid football. Like, I love that. I love the culture that they have in Miami right now, because it was a team last year where everybody felt like they should have tanked, and there's the whole tank for Tua, and they didn't tank. You know, Brian Flores got that team to play hard for him, and they won some games, and some people viewed it as a bad thing, but in reality, he's creating a culture there to win football games, and that's it. Like, he doesn't care about the future, just win football games. They ended up getting Tua anyway. So it's right. Like, you know, this team, they can, you know, they should get better. As long as they start to draft a little bit better than they have in years past and build that offensive line a little bit, this should be a good football team.
Yep. Meanwhile, Kyler Murray is just preposterous. 283 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. He also rushes for 106 yards and the rushing touchdown. He does lose a fumble. Chase Edmonds, a little disappointing, 25 for 70 on the ground. He still gets 3 catches for 18 yards. Christian Kirk is your leading receiver. 8 targets, 5 catches, 123 yards. And a touchdown. I mean, Xavier Howard was just pass interferencing all over the place anyway. So DeAndre Hopkins, only 3 catches on 3 targets for 30 yards. Does the needle move for you on any Arizona player from a fantasy perspective after this game?
I mean, Christian Kirk has to move up a little bit. It was supposed to be a tough matchup. He was actually supposed to be the one to see Xavier Howard in coverage most of the day, but they had Howard shadowing Hopkins, and he was doing a damn good job of it too. Yeah. So it was the matchup that I predicted didn't happen. And that's ultimately why Christian Kirk had a better game than DeAndre Hopkins. But I think we have to move him up. His production's been there. I think it's been 4 straight weeks, and he had 3 straight good matchups that we should have expected production. But this is one that it wasn't a great matchup. Even though Xavier Howard wasn't on him, it wasn't a great matchup, and he got it done. So I think Christian Kirk has to be bumped up.
So where was, I mean, he was 47 for you coming in. He was 43 for me. Where are you moving him to?
I think I moved him up to wide receiver 43 or 44, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right. So I think I'll probably have a corresponding move up, which is to say I'm probably a few spots higher than you rest of season. But yeah, we're in that range. He's still not really that reliable wide receiver 3. You're going to feel comfortable starting each and every week. But I agree. He moves up. He's been impressive. All right. That is it for our Sunday night recap. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks also to Ayr Medcare Network. Remember, protect you, protect your loved ones, get the peace of mind you deserve. Just go to ayrmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use offer code fantasypros to get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. We will be back with our waiver wire show in the morning or in the afternoon tomorrow, discussing all the latest pickups that you need to do to keep your fantasy season going. We will talk to you then.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip.
That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.